Okay, today's daf is daf Yud Gimel, and we got up to the first line. Omer of Chanan Bar Rava, we're right at the end of the line. Omer of Chanan Bar Rava, Hani Hizmi V'Higi, Misachachin Bo, discussing yesterday things that were be'etzem fit the overall rule of not being Mechurba Lakarka, being Yidule Karka, and not being Mekabel Tumah, and yet nonetheless we weren't able to be Misachach with them because of various side issues, cases we used yesterday, the Shvitzari, where that they had a bad odor and would eventually cause the person to leave the sukkah, which, by the way, if the sukkah would be actually uninhabitable, of course, would be literally possible midiraita. We had two inyanim that discussed that. One is the overall halach of teshvukei in taduru, the same reason that a mitzayer would be put to mina sukkah. This would be a mitzayer. This wouldn't be a sukkah for him at all, as the Mishabura points out. So obviously cannot be talking about a case where it stinks ad kedei kach that he's a mitzayer. Furthermore, we had the issue earlier about defining the nature of a sukkah, that it cannot be a diras rucha. Those things that actually define the sukkah, you don't have enough room to move around without hitting your head on a ripe tomato or something. So there already it's begun, where we have the yihutz in yordim betoch hasara. It's begun that he had some sukkah, not about individuals' feelings about the sukkah. It's not roy to be a house. So there's really three different issues. There's the discomfort of a house that's usable, and there the Rabbon and Aser using it. There's an actual diras rucha, where it's not a sukkah at all. And then there's a mitzvah in which the person is not going to be yotzi with the sukkah midiraisa, because it isn't to him a place where he can live. So here we have additional examples of such problems where it fits the main three criteria, but still we can't use it, and that's hizmi v'higi. So the Chana Bar Rava says hizmi v'higi misachachin v'hu, there's no problem in using thorns and thistles. But Abaya says there is a problem in higi. In hizmi there's no problem, misachachin, despite the fact you'd say what a thorny crown to put on your sukkah, but nonetheless it's okay. But the problem, however, with the higi is you cannot be misachachid because kina de natri trafayu shavik le benafik. Since the leaves continuously fall, it's disturbing. And because of that, it's similar to the reyach ra, and the chachamim assert using a sukkah which is matcheyu from the sukkah, even though you're not mamish a mitzayer. Therefore, you should not use these things for your sukkah. If it falls once, so again, this is very nogel aloch, because a lot of the sikhuch has a tendency to drop leaves. So again, as the Mishnah Berurah points out, if it's not a continual, it's only when the wind will blow hard, it'll start to drop. That's not a problem. But if it's something that is just the whole sukkah is uncomfortable because there's never a time that you can sit without feeling things popping into your food and so on, so then that's not considered to be kosher schach in Rabbana. Omer of Gidel Omerat, getting back now to the Gezerah of our Mishnah. The Gezerah of our Mishnah was, you cannot use Chavilot. You cannot use Chavilot because of Gezerat Otsar. So where you have a package, something that is packaged, we're afraid that you're going to use it, leave it as a package for other purposes, and then think that you can subsequently decide that it's a sukkah, and therefore you can't use a chavilah. Now the question is, what defines a chavilah? Suppose a person takes an afkuta de dikla. The word afkuta comes from the word nafik, pak, which means to go out. In other words, the trunk. So you take a palm, at its low point, it's connected to the ground. Now it's got 50 branches coming out of it. It's all connected at the bottom. At the top, it spreads out. You see these things, the lump of wood, thick wood at the bottom. And what's left, they leave only that piece to hold together the branches. They got a lot of branches that are coming out. So here you've got one piece of wood, basically, you could use to cover your entire sukkah, because all these branches will be. Is that a package? If it's a package, then you can't use it. Says Rav, an afkuta de dikla is not called a package. And b'sachachin b'hu, you could certainly use it for schach. Afagav the agide, even though you'll say, but practically speaking, it's all attached at the trunk. You're right. But agad b'dei shamayim, lo shmei agad. Something that comes packaged naturally is not a package. That's just what it is. Pre-packaged. That's fine. And in fact, even if you would then tie the branches, it wouldn't be a package. Because you can't create a package out of one thing. So since this is all one thing, because we've already determined that agad b'dei shamayim is basically the way it comes, so then afagav dohader agid luhu, you could tie up the other side, ige pechad lo shmei agad. A single item is not called a package of items, and therefore it doesn't fit the gezerah in our Mishnah of not using chavilot. The same thing, he said it about the palm, is an equivalent case which was said separately, of course, it's no bigger chiddush one than the other, of a case of kanim. Bamboo can also grow in this way, where you have like a lot of bamboo shoots. So it's the same thing. Hani dukre dekani. Dukre dekani means a piece of, the low piece of bamboo that has a lot of stickers on it, called duker. Misachim buhu. You can use that as schach, apagav de agirininu, even though you'll say, but isn't it packaged at the bottom? Indeed it is. Agad bide shemayim lo shmei agad. When it's naturally packaged, that's not called a package. Apagav de hadu agidloi. Even though afterwards you tie the parts of the bamboo that are sticking out all the way on the other side, it's also not a package, because he gave a chad lav shmei agad. Tanya nami hachi. In fact, there's a brighter that basically says this. Kanim, the dokranim, misachachin behem. Now what is that supposed to mean? Kanim? But you're allowed to use bamboo? I mean, why not? Kanim pshita. No. Kanim shel dokranim misachachin behem. The point is that you can use bamboo despite the fact that it is still called a dokrani. It's called dokrani because it's all stuck to the bottom and now it's sticking out in all directions. So it's porcupine bamboo, so to speak. That's fine. V'yom rav yistam ravina bar shila. Hani mirirata de agman. Once we quoted Shita over here, Rav Chistam Ravina Bar Shila, we just quoted in his halacha about the Dukrani vis-a-vis Sukkot. So we also bring an halacha of Rav Chistam Ravina Bar Shila in terms of Pesach. Okay? That's not really what's going on. That's what looks like going on. We know that we have a lot of curious relationships between Pesach and Sukkot. And of course, it's based on the pasuk Chamisha Hasar, which we use as a drasha later on. There's even a havamina that you're mechuyev to eat matzah in your sukkah. Which we need a pasuk to tell me that you don't have to eat matzah in your sukkah. So there's a lot of, now we're not going to talk about the matzah yet, we're going to talk about the morah. So when it comes to the morah, we also have a maimer of Rav Chistam Ravina Bar Shila that says that Hani Marita de Agma, moror of the swamp. Rashi says moror is a reference to a type of lettuce. Tosfos says it definitely is not. It brings derived from the Gemara. But in any event, it's a species that is bitter, should be perfectly usable for eating moror. The Torah didn't say precisely what, it just says mororim. So if it's mirirata de agma, adam yotzei behem yedei chovato bepesach, you can use that for your moror. Now the problem is that where the Torah does not give a specific identification to a species, the rule is that any subspecies is not included. Because a subspecies would have been identified. Again, we have to take as our makom yotze that the Torah speaks human language. It's a dibra Torah kelshon bnei adam. What defines human language is therefore the level of sophistications that humans are capable of distinguishing. So if we call something Ezov, let's say, and the Torah refers to that Ezov, and we know that we're talking about the same thing. But suppose we now have an encyclopedia that lists 493 different types of subspecies of Ezov. Which one did the Torah mean? So what the Gemara ends up saying is a very fascinating thing. That in fact, we look at the level of sophistication that existed at the time of Kabbalat HaTorah. Anything that had been at that time recognized as a separate species or subspecies and was referred to by a word, then if that word was not the word that was used on our Sinai, it wasn't what was being referred to. But anything which only subsequently became divided in human language, so then it would be included in the overall rubric that the Torah used at the time. Now the question is, the Gemara's thought was that Mirirata da Agma is a subspecies. It's not Moror, it's Mirirata da Agma. So it's a particular type of Moror. Therefore, it's not included in the Torah's definition of Matzotu Mororim, because this is not plain Moror, this is specific Moror. Asks the Gemara from, in fact, halacha that defines this. Every time the Torah uses the word Ezov, we go through this drasha. Ezov means the typical Ezov. Not what is called Ezov Yavan, not what is called Ezov Kuchli, it had a bluish color, not an Ezov Midbari, not an Ezov Romi, not an Ezov that has any type of additional subspecies identification. Lo Ezov Sheyesh Lo Shem Levi. Now, Mirirata de Agma has a Shem Levi. So if the Torah didn't mean the Ezov with a Shem Levi, why would it mean a Mor with a Shem Levi? Omer Rabbi, you can't ask that question. Koshim Nishtane Shmo Kodem Matan Torah. If the Shem Levi existed before the Torah was given, and then the Torah came and specifically leaves out this word, so then the it's not going to be included, and forget about it. But this word did not exist. It's a recent innovation. We decided to split the Mirirata into Mirirata da Agma, another type of Mirirata, and therefore it was irrelevant for the definition of the term in the Torah. Rava says, It's not even relevant if it had been there at the time of the Torah. Mirirata de Agma is not a subspecies. Mirirata de Agma is an identification of placement, that's all. Hani Mirirata Stama Shamayo is normal Mirirata. The only reason it's called Mirirata de Agma is Mishum de Mishtakeach de Agma. It's found often growing in an agam, and therefore it's very ripe and so on. So they gave it that name. But that doesn't mean that it's literally a subspecies that has any type of genetic marker to define it. It's just where it grows, and that's, it has it juicier, because that maybe you think it wasn't considered to be more, but that's all he's saying. There's no problem using the Mirirata de Agma. Those, Yavin and Romi, those are real subspecies, yes. They're very different types of Hazov. These are very cute, by the way, really cute. Ishbitzer. The Ezov is always used as anava. First, it should be mashpilat smoke Ezov. That's why it's used for various kaporas to use Ezov. So he says there's all types of anava. Right? So you have, well, we talk about an anava as an Ezov, but not these other types of Ezov. So he goes through all of them, you know. So he says that there's a Ezov Yavan. That's the guy who's like the philosopher who said the way to get, with your chokhmah, you're supposed to be an anav. So that's his anivus. The Ezov Kukli is like eyeshadow. It's a great way for human relationships. You know, let them think you're the anav. You get your way. Yeah. The Ezov Midbari is basically the guy who really doesn't have anything. You know, he's kind of, what's he going to be stuck up about? The Ezov Romi is so stuck up, it doesn't even pass for him to be stuck up around simple people. He's got to wait till he gets into the high classes. It's cute. Anyway, so getting back to the Gemara, Umr Chista. We said Igeid Bechad Lav Shmei Agad. Now, if you have one item that you tie together, like the case that we had of the three packages here of the Kanim or of the palm, that's not called Agad. If you take three items and tie them together, that is considered to be an Agad. Shnayim, two items, I think, is a machlokes for Yossi Rabbanan. By the way, many ask from this Gemara on the Yerushalmi that I mentioned to you yesterday, the Tosis brings, that you need a minimum of 25 items in order for it to be considered to be Agat. It seems to be. And there are indeed those who learn that the Babli here is a big chalik on that Yerushalmi, and that this really is a description of the total number of items that are included in the Chavilah. Others compare this to the sugya that we just came off of. In other words, suppose you would have three Dukrani Dekanis. Tie the three Dukrani Dekanis together, you've probably got 100 items there. It's just the question is whether they're called an agat. That's not the same as a chavilah. A chavilah may need a lot of pieces in it. You have a lot of pieces. But what calls those pieces tied pieces? The fact that there's at least three distinguishable parts on the ufta de dikla, or in the Dukrani Dekan, the bottom of the Dukrani. So that is maybe a separate issue. But the total number of items in the chavilah and the total number of connections that you have to have in that chavilah. Maybe the Bavli is talking about something else. How many separate parts do you need to tie together? Not how many pieces need to be in it once it's tied. Okay, so maybe. Again, there's two different approaches here. We've shown them now. It's an early machlokas here. The two, now Rav Chista is claiming that if you tie two things together, there's a machlokas Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbonan as to whether it's called agat. By the way, it's a very, very cute Tosfos that says that this doesn't make any sense because the Mishnah in Avos says that if you have five Asara that are Yoshrim and they're Iskim B'Tayre Shechina B'Neim, it says Elokim Nitzav Ba'adat El. How do you know Minayim Shafilu Chamisha Sheyoshrim? Shinema Ve'agudato Al Eretz Yisadas. Well, Aguda is obviously five. How do you say three? This is the Mishnah seems to be saying that it's a beautiful question. Huh? So in any event, I think it's a machlokas, huh? Sorry? Okay. Agudato. What's your problem? The Mishnah uses the lashon of agudas afilu chamisha. So if it was three, it would say three.
Five fingers in the hand.
Yeah. But later on, Tosis Darshan's leaning. The fingers yadi, yazdar, yadais. How many fingers are in it? But getting back anyway to the one. So the Rav Chista claims that somehow in this following machlokas, we're going to have to look around and see how we see it. But that somehow in this machlokas, there is a raya that Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanan argue as to whether two is considered to be an aguda. It's not.
It's also a problem.
No, not necessarily. We may be a difference. As I said, that's the question of the Yerushalmi Bavli issue. We may be talking about two things. Ditznan. Where do we see this machlokas? It's going to be a little difficult for us to prove that this is the machlokas. So let's take a look first what the Mishnah says. Mitzvah to Ezov. Where there is a mitzvah to use an Ezov. We have a mitzvah to Ezov. The truth is, the only place that it really mentions Agudat Ezov is in Mitzrayim. Lakachtem Agudat Ezov. The sprinkling of the dam. The thing is that we learn from there that when it says Ezov, it's even by the Parah Adumah, it also means an Agudat Ezov. As we talked about this earlier, Tosfos compares this sugya to that sugya before. But let's assume that it's said in the Torah Agudat Ezov all over. What is that Agudat Ezov? So Mitzvat Ezov, the Tanakhama says, what we need is Shlosha Kelachim, Ubehem Shlosha Giv Olim. We need three stalks, three basically plants of Ezov, where there is one Giv Ol for each one of those stalks. A Giv Ol is a seed pod, which is the hard piece that holds the water, or the dam, and that we're just sprinkling from. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Mitzvat Ezov Shlosha Givolim. Indeed, I agree with you. By the way, the Lashon, don't get confused by the stress on Givol as opposed to Kelach. The Lashon of the Mishnah is that he says it, in the Mishnah he says it exactly the same way. Shlosha Kelachim, Shlosha Givolim. There is a Rashi, by the way, not here, but another sugya is where Rashi says Shlosha Kelachim, each one of which holds Shlosha Givolim, which Tosfos disproves here. Again, none of this is really central to the argument. Let's just concentrate on our sugya. Yeah, it splits. You know, there's a lot of, it can be a lot of seed pods on one plant of Ezov. So now the thing is like this. Rabbi Yossi, the main point that Rabbi Yossi is making over here is not the stress on the Givol as opposed to the Kelach, but rather the fact that he's ready to go from three Givolim as a start to Shiarav Shnayim, to having only two as a leftovers, and Gardumav Kolshehu. The notion of Gardumav, by the way, is very recognizable in modern Hebrew, Ole Gardom. The gardom is where they cut your head off, basically. So the gardumav is the cut-off, broken-off pieces of the givol. As long as there's something left on that givol that's recognizable, even though it has suffered terribly through all of its usages, nonetheless, it's still, as long as there's something left, it's still considered to be kosher. Now, how do we understand, at this point, how do we understand a shita that would say, you got to start with three, but it's okay if you're left with two? Well, what does that mean? I mean, is the shear three, is the shear two? It sounds like what he's saying is, look, we'd like you to do it correctly, which is three. You did it correctly. Now one of them falls off. Okay, Mela, now it's a bidi evit. So bidi evit is kosher, right? Whereas the Rabbanan who are saying, no, it's three or bust. So according to them, there's no bidi evit. The shear is three, which means that the ikra libra Rabbi Yossi, the shear is two. Except that it's nice to have three. So then that boils down to the question of whether an agad is two or whether an agad is three. And that seems to be what Reb Chista meant when he said that the question of what defines an agad is a machlokas Reb Yossi and the Rabbanan, it appears that this is what he was referring to, right? Let's just see that inside now. Now, Kasalka Daitan, our initial starting assumption was that Midishiarav Shnayim, if Rabbi Yossi is ready to accept a leftover of two instead of three, so what he really is saying is Trilato Nami Shnayim, it Bidi Avad, it's okay, except you don't start with a Bidi Avad, that's what the Chatchila means. So why does he say Shlosha? It's better to start with Shlosha Le Mitzvah. Since Rabbi Yossi is saying Shlosha is only Le Mitzvah, then the Rabbanan are saying that Shlosha is Lachev. You absolutely have to have three, or else you don't have a kosher agad. And that's what Reb Chista must have meant when he said that it's a machlokas Reb Yossi and Rabbanan. Can that be, says the Gemara? V'atanya, in the Braita, Reb Yossi says openly that that's not true. Reb Yossi Omer, here Reb Yossi says, Ezov shetchilato shnayim, v'shiyorav echad pasul. If you started with an Ezov with two, or you have an Ezov that has one left over, it's pasul. Eino kasher ad shiyehe tchilato shlosha, v'shiyorav shnayim. Here he's saying the fairship isn't kosher unless you start with three. So then that means that he's not talking about la mitzvah. He's talking about la akev, which means that what we missed here was a very important point. We missed an actual new shiur, which is called shirayim. Shirayim. In other words, there is a halacha of how to make something, and there is that thing having been made doesn't lose the shame of what it is when it becomes the shirayim of that thing. But just because the shirayim is kosher in one way doesn't mean you could have started that way and still have it ever called an agudat ezov. Correct. Yes, exactly. So according to Rabbi Yossi, Adarabba, what Rabbi Yossi is saying is, you must have three. He's the one who's saying you must have three, at least for a start. So in order to define an agad up front, if anything, Rav Yossi is the one who's saying you need three. Maybe we can now reverse it. We could say, Rav Chista must have meant it's a machlokas, Rav Yossi the Rabbonin. That is to say, the Rav Yossi holds you have to have three to create an agad. And the Rabbonin say, it's only a mitzvah to have three. Maybe that's how to do it. So the Gemara, indeed, let's do that epoch. Turn that around. Understand Rav Chista's meaning that it's a machlokas tanoim as follows. That the Rav Yossi, shlosha is la'akev. And the Rabbanon, shlosha is only lechatchila as a mitzvah. And indeed, v'atanya, it says that in a braita. Must be. Because look what it says here. Ezo shetchilato shnayim. Here it says you start off with an ezov that had only two. Or shiurav echad. It has one left now. It would be kosher. Veino pasul. Ache tchilato vishiurav echad. Now, this doesn't make sense. Because, I mean, obviously if it was a tchilato, then it wasn't shiurav. I mean, so now you're saying shiurav. You started saying shiurav echad is pasul. Here. And now you're saying that Shiarav Echad, we started off saying, Shiarav Echad Kasher. Make up your mind. Shiarav Kasher or Shiarav Pasul? Elah, the only way to read this reason is Eino Pasul Ad Shetehe Tchilato Kishiarav. It's only Pasul if you started off with the same thing that you're left with, namely one. Now, obviously, this is not Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi, if you didn't start with three, it's Pasul. So who is this? Could only be the Rabbana. If you're learning the Rabbanah the way you learned it before, it's nobody. So in other words, there is, in fact, clearly a machlok. It's just like the priest said. Machlok is Rabbi Yossi and Rabbanah. According to the Rabbanah, it's only possible if you start off with one. According to Rabbi Yossi, it's possible even if you start off with two. That means that there's a machlok is whether Aguda is two or three, which is exactly what Rabbi Yossi said. Now, getting back to the packaging issue. We've established a number of things about packages. How many pieces you have to have in a package. How many pieces have to be tied to make it a package? Whether a natural package is considered to be a package? Now we have another question. The purpose of the packaging. Sometimes you have a package that isn't even meant to hold together as a package, but what you do is you number it. Very often you'll go into it, you're going to try to buy firewood or something. They'll tie a piece around 10 pieces of wood that have one load of 10. That doesn't even mean you're able to lift it with that or anything. It's packaged that way in order for you to be able to buy it easily. So you now know, here's a package of 10. Whatever, yeah, absolutely. You do it all the time. But it's not done for holding together purposes. It's done for identification purposes. That's not considered to be a package. Darsh Marebrahani Asuraita the Surah. What they sell in Surah, where they just sell them by numbers. So they tie a string around to indicate you got 10 pieces. So there, it's perfectly kosher. Misachakimbu afagav de agdan, even though they are tied. Leminyana biyamu de agdan, they're only tied for counting purposes. They're not tied to be able to handle them as a group. In which case, we have all our gzera of the otzer and so on. It's irrelevant. It's irrelevant to the gzera of the otzer. Don't get hung up on the word package. Ram Rabbana, I'll give you another interesting example of a packaging problem, which you would never have even thought of as a package. A bird watcher's blind. Blind. Of course, in those days, they didn't have bird watchers, they had bird shooters. But in our terms, you have a bird watcher's blind. And what is that? What you do is, you make yourself basically look like a tree. You know, and then you get up close to the birdie. Except when he lands right on your head, that's a little bit of a problem. But other than that, it worked pretty well. So what did they do? They would take long branches, let's say of Arava, which is very, you know, nice thick branch. They would loop them around on the bottom with string, so it was braided. Then they'd bend them up, tie the top, you would get inside, tie the top, and then you walk around with this thing. You walk around like Duncan Woods. Yeah, there you go. So, I'm telling you, here we go. He was so close to Duncan Wood, and he falls asleep just as we're talking about it. Terrible. but they didn't, he was only doing the Henrys, and you can't expect to wake up from Macbeth. So in any event, over here the shaila is like this. Basically, you've got a package, because package for a purpose, but you've got a package. So this, if you want to try to make a sukkah with your bird watchers blind, it's no good, because it's packaged. However, says Rabbaba, Hanitzrifet Urbani, Kivan Shuhutu Roshem Adanim Shalehim. If you untie the upper knot, then it's kosher. Ask the Gemara, why is it kosher? It's still braided on the bottom. V'agidi mitatoi. Omer of Papa de Shori, look, well, I mean, he means that you have to at least loosen that. Ravuna Breda Rav Yeshua says, no, you don't have to loosen it. Look, once you've untied the top, you can't carry this thing anymore with the braid. You try pulling one, you just pull it out. You don't pull it along. And the klal is that kol agach eino asur l'taltalo. If the packaging will not hold for carrying, it's not called packaging. So we're really zeroing in here on what we mean by our gzera of a chavila, which was we called the gzerat otzar. Omer Babar Mashmuel, Yirakot she'amru chachamim adam yotzei be'em yedecho v'atan be'pesach. Now, I'll be darned, what a coincidence. We're back again to that morer business. What an amazing coincidence. So anything that you'd be able to use for morer on Pesach, and now, of course, what else would you do with your morer on Pesach except try to build a sukkah with them, you know? So it's so clear. So here the question is, let's think about the tumah issue for a moment. Because, I mean, l'chore, if they're suitable for moror, then they're considered to be food. If they're considered to be food, then they're makabel tumah, and they're not going to be kosher for Pesach. So let's start first zero in on the din of tumah. The din of tumah, when it comes to bringing tumah, allowing something to spread, to make it a roof, it's irrelevant whether that thing will be makabel tumah itself. But to be chotzeitz, to prevent tumah from penetrating it, it has to be an insulator to tumah. It can't be a conductor of tumah. So if it itself conducts tumah, it doesn't act as a chatzitza. That's like trying to cover copper wires with gold. You'll get yourself quite a shock. Right? So over here, what you're doing is you're taking a foodstuff. You're going to try to use it as a barrier for tumah penetrating the roof. It'll go right through it, of course. Right? So the other question, and normally the foodstuff would not be a suitable barrier for tumah, but suppose that food did not have hechsher. If it didn't have hechsher, it was never touched by water after it was cut, then it's not going to be able to be makabel tumah, and therefore it should serve as a proper insulator against tumah. Because for all intents and purposes, it's a non-tumah accepting substance. However, there's another issue here, and the other issue is its longevity. Something which is a vegetable or a fruit, once it's exposed, you put it up on a roof, basically a few hours later it's not going to be there. It's just going to disappear by drying out. It will no longer be able to cover the tefach that's supposed to be there to protect from the tumah. The Rabbanan gave the halacha that anything that has no long-term sustainability is viewed as not being there at all. Now, this is true both lagabe the dinim of chatzitza of tumah, and also, interestingly enough, lagabe the sukkah. So that even if you were to have something that isn't makabel tumah, so it's a foodstuff, let's say, that wasn't hukshel lekabel tumah, which is how Tosfos understands the problem here. There is a gears in Rashi that says it's not roi lemachal adam, which Tosfos says must have been thrown in by somebody. You can't say that about merorim. How can merorim not be roi lachila? Although some try to say it's not roi lachila itself. You can only eat it with other things. Okay, but Tosfos says, of course, it doesn't mean that. It means it wasn't hukshel lekabel tumah. But consider this. In terms of the sukkah, when we're learning out from the din of psolet goren v'yekev, so is the question of actual Kabbalah Tumah the issue? Or is it just that it shouldn't be a thing that is ultimately Roy LeKabbalah Tumah? The only marker that we had, it was Psolet Goren V'yekev. Once it's a fruit, it's not Psolet Goren V'yekev. But it doesn't matter whether it's Hukshel LeKabbalah Tumah or not. So in terms of the sukkah, we should look basically at your apples as being possible for the sukkah because they're different. It's LeKabbalah Tumah, they're not Psolet Goren V'yekev, right? These are the grapes, they're not the Psolet of the V'yekev. Problem is that there's another issue. They're going to disappear. You say, okay, what's the difference? It's either schach pasul or it's not here. Ah, there's a big, big difference. The difference, for instance, would be, suppose I have a large sukkah and all of the edges around the wall are made out of metal, where I build my sukkah in the middle of the living room. How much distance do I have of schach pasul that I'm allowed to have between the beginning of the schach kosher and the wall? 4 amot. Dofen akuma. Up till 4 amot would be okay. But suppose I have just an empty space. Oh, then I'm in big trouble. Because then I can't have 3 tfachim. So now, if I view this as chach pasul, I got myself a kosher sukkah. But if I view it as not being here, then it's not here at all. And then I have to go down all the way to Lovud to make it work. Now, there are other nafkaminas also about this. If I consider it to be chach pasul, then it's not considered to be a break in the chach. Chach pasul doesn't pass in the middle of the sukkah either, the way that a hole in the roof does. Over there, I'll tolerate a certain amount of schach pasul, as we'll see later on. So it makes very important nafkamina as to whether we consider this a dover that's makabel tumah and therefore pasul schach, or whether we consider it not to be there at all. Okay? So now this halacha basically deals with the question, the relationship between those concepts, davar mekabel tumah or not being here, in terms of dinim of tumah, havas tumah, chatzitza b'fnei tumah, and kashrus or sukkah. Surprise, surprise. So now let's take a look. And of course, the paraduma and the tyra and the givolim and the agudas ezov and all, you know. What can you do? It's all agad. So, says the Gemara, let's take a look at inside again. Omer Rabba and Shmuel, Yirakot Shamu Chachamim Adam Yotzei Behem Yedecho Vato BePesach Meviim Et HaTumah. They will spread tumah horizontally. Ve'in Chotetzim B'fnei HaTumah. But they will not prevent tumah from getting through them. U'poslim B'sukah B'shum Avir. They're considered to be possible in the sukkah as if they're not there, as if they're avir, which passes with shloish tvachim, and not as chach possible, which in the middle of the sukkah is four tvachim, and the side of the sukkah is four amais, because of dofen hakuma. My time, why do we treat it as airspace? Kiman delechiyavshe, because once they start to dry, parche venafle, they simply shrivel and fall, command alesnu dummy, we view them as simply not being extant. The omer of Abba omer of Huna, another fascinating halacha is, that interrelates the dinim of a sukkah with the dinim of tuma, is the question of yadot. We've discussed the din of a davar that's roi lekabel tuma. Now, normally I see that as an instrument of some kind, a kli of some kind, a beged of some kind, or a foodstuff of some kind, right? What else could it be? But there is a fascinating middle stage of something that on its own cannot be mekabel tuma, but is mekabel tuma when it's attached to something else. And that's called yadot hakelim, or yadot halachlim. So let's say now I have a cluster of grapes. The grapes certainly are mekabel tumah, they're food. How about the cluster itself, the wood of the cluster? For me to carry these grapes, it's awfully convenient for me to be able to hold the piece of wood as a handle and carry 100 grapes along with it. So that's called a yad. And a yad, indeed, is meviyat tumah, motziyat tumah, almost as if it itself is the foodstuff. So if that's the question, this goes all the way back to Gadain and again, which is the question of tameh etz ketameh pri. At what point tuma can affect things, and that's why the end of Tereshu Balper is Mesechet Uketzin, which recreates Eitz and Pri into relationships, right at the final tikkun of Tereshu Balper. Right, so we go from that problem of Eitz Pri Eitz to Uketzin of Eitz. So over here, the question is: for a sukkah, what's the din of Yadot? Are Yadot considered to be a dover that's makabel tuma because they're here and can? It's interesting. There's big machlokas in the Achronim as to how to view Yadot. Is it that the yadot are merely a channel for tuma, or are they themselves mekabel tumas because they are attached? There's all kinds of fascinating technical differences, for sure, and things like that. From this sugya, they ask, when the sugya appears, that we treat them as a dover that's mekabel tuma because they're possible for schach, it says over here. So now let's take a look at the particular cases. Rav Abba quotes Rav Huna saying that if somebody is collecting grapes for pressing, ein lo yadot, then he does not have a din of yadot on the clusters. Why? Because he doesn't want to be carrying around these grapes. He wants to be pressing the grapes. And adarabah, he does not want the wood to be in there, because the wood is just going to absorb the liquid, and it's going to hurt his yavul. So he certainly, it's not considered to be a yad when it's not, there's no interest in using it as a yad. V'Menashe Bar Gada quotes Rav Huna saying that ha-kotzer l'schach ein lo yadot, which is fascinating. A guy is cutting straw. At the top of the straw, he's got grain. But he's not interested in the grain because he can't use the grain for his schach. He's interested in the straw itself, right? So therefore, it would be kosher because the actual grain is not interested in him. Now, the first Lashon Man D'Yomer, the second Lashon Man D'Yomer Kotzer, and there was Rumanash Bargada. So he for sure would accept that a Botzer Lagat is not considered to be a Yad. D'lo Nechli, there he specifically doesn't even want the wood to be there. Because D'lo Nam Tzil Chamri doesn't want it to suck up his wine. So he's Bedavka upset about the fact that the wood fell in. So for sure it's not a Yad. But man diomer botzer she'in lo yadot. However, Rabbi Abba's approach, who was only willing to take the din of in lo yadot that Rav Huna said, only so far as to botzer in lo yadot, that's because he doesn't want the yad. But a kotzer, he would say yesh lo yadot. And therefore the whole sukkah is possible. Why? Speaking logistically, it's very useful for him to have the grain on the top. Because by having the grain on the top, it catches, the pieces of straw catch each other, and they'll hold. If there were no grain there, it would just blow away the first time that you had the wind. So memela over there would be considered yadot, because he's neged to the grain, and therefore would be mekabel tuma. There's a brilliant, brilliant question by the Tribuner Rav from this sugya on those who hold that a ma'amid, that's mekabel tuma, passes something which is not itself mekabel tuma at all. Because the Gemara is making the problem over here, the question of whether it has yadot. But if you're telling me that the grain is useful in holding it together, then the grain is a maimed, even if there wouldn't be a din of yadot. So then if the grain is mekabel tuma, and a maimed that's mekabel tuma passes, even though it's only an ex post facto second, it's a maimed of the maimed, so then it would be possible because of that. Why is the Gemara saying it's possible only because of the din of yadot? Is that a beautiful question? That is stunning.
It's a metal moment.
The same thing. That's the chazanish with the metal moment. That's kashya. Yeah, you have to work a minute. Okay, continue. Now, is it possible that Ramanashya Bargada's shita about kotzer in lo yadot is in fact a machlokes tanoim? The tanya. Suchet einim ubehem teinim. Parchilem ubehem anavim. Kashin ubehem shibolim. Machbedot ubehem tmorim. Kulan, im psolet murubal ochlim kshera, vim laf psula. Okay, a guy now has got himself a beautiful sukkah that he's making out of branches of figs that have, they got a lot of figs in them, and people hang figs on their sukkah anyway. It's beautiful. They got figs hanging down. And you've got figs there. You've got these large parchilim, each parchil that contains a number of clusters. You've got anavim hanging down over your sukkah. Beautiful. You've got the straw that have the actual shibolim. I mean, these are all designs anyway we spoke about before. You've got the machbedot, which are the clusters of dates, covered with dates. Okay, the rule is, says the Tanakhama, if mostly you've got non-edible stuff, the stick, so then it's kosher. If you've got mostly edible stuff, so it's makabel tuma, the schach is no good. And then in lav psula. But acherim omrim, others say, no, it would only be kosher if you have the kash more, not only than the Yochlin, but more than the Yadot of the Yochlin. So this seems to be the Machlokas. Is there, do we need to take into consideration the area of the straw that is up against the grain because it's a Yad? Or do we say it's not viewed as a Yad for these purposes? Because you don't want it there. So my love, apparently one man the armor holds that if you're Kotzer for Tzchach, there are Yadot. And Marasava and Lim Yadot. So what are you going to do? So Li Rabbi Abba, look, I mean, Rabbi Abba said the only case was Botzer. Only Botzer in Lo Yadot, right? But Kotzer Yesh Lo Yadot. I mean, he has no choice. He's going to have to admit that somebody holds that there's Yadot here for both, right? That there's no Yadot for both. As the Tanakhama said, Beferish, how are you going to get out of that? There's no way to get out of that. The question is, though, according to Menashe Bargada, does Rav Menashe Bargada, who said over here that Akotz L'Schach Ein Lo Yadot, must he admit that there is indeed a Man D'Omar over here who insists that Yesh Lo Yadot or not? Or is there another way of understanding it? Mileima Tanoi, Amlacha Rav Menashe, no, everybody agrees with me. Kuli Amasavri HaKotz L'Schach Ein Lo Yadot. Of course everybody agrees there's no Yadot. The only reason over here we run into a problem is because this guy was not Kotz L'Schach. He originally just went ahead and he now took in all of his grain. Now it comes Sukkot time, and he's thinking, you know, maybe I could use that before I break it up into the grain and separate it. Maybe I'll just use the raw straw with the grain as chach. At this point, it's too late for him to change his mind, because we already started with Yadot. Okay, so that's the machlokes. He was originally kotzan lachila. Originally, he just harvested his field. Now nimlach aleim l'sichur, and now he decided it's time to use it for schach. Okay, therefore we have a machlokas whether it loses its din of yadot at that point or it can't lose it. Says the Gemara, how could there be a machlokas if it loses it? Ikotza machila, my tamayu the rabbanan. Why would the rabbanan say it's not considered to be yad? What are you going to say? Because v'chitema kasavi rabbanan kimita the nimlach aleim the sichok batalu machshavtai. Once you change your mind, you created now a situation where something is makabel tuma. How did you create it? With your intention. So now you change your mind. You're going to try to tell me that a change of intent now changes the halachic status. We know that there's no greater rule in Dinim of Tumah than the rule that says that that's not true. It's the most famous Mishnah in all of Tyrus. Is it in fact possible to change an intent and thereby change the ruling? Does it not say, Kol HaKelim, your din lidei Tumah b'machshava? Any kli could be defined as something that is a usable instrument and therefore now instantaneously become ready to be makabel tumah by the simple act or non-act, but by the simple thought that it is to be used for that purpose. You got a piece of skin. You decide to use that skin as a tablecloth. It is hereby dubbed tablecloth. And now it's going to be makabel tumah. If now you say, I think we'll use it to make shoes out of. Sorry, Charlie, it's too late. And there's no, what you can do is you can take a scissors and now start cutting it into strips that are usable for making shoes. But that's not a thought, that's an act. Then indeed you'll take off its previous status. So kol hakelim are yardim l'dei tumah shava, but ein olim mitumah tam, they will never lose their status of kabbalat tumah. This doesn't mean they actually were tameh, but of even being roye to be tameh, ela b'shinui ma'aseh. You'll have to do something to actually change it physically. You can change a thought with an act. You can change even a previous act with an act. But you cannot change a machshava, you cannot use a machshava to change either. Lo mide maaseh, velo miyad machshava. A new thought will not undo even a previous thought. Koshikain will not undo an act. So therefore, if you're trying to be mefarish the machlokis of the year, and in the Braita, as to whether there are yadot, is referring to a case where he originally had it in mind to eat, and now he changes his mind, how could there be a machlokas about whether a change in mind would change the status of the Kabbalah Stuma of the yad? Unless you suggest that the relationship of thinking to yadot is different than the relationship of thinking to the actual item. That's something that we will explore tomorrow night at the exciting hour of 9 still? And it was rough. Okay, so still 9.
We have something like a sleepless alarm.
Yeah, but the sleepless is supposed to be late. It's supposed to be 12:30. 11:30 is before Chatzot. There's an Eliyahu Rabba that says, Bishum ofen lo yomar lechot lifnei chatzot.
Is that just the first night?
No, ever, because you're not. That's why we have tikkun chatzot. Because you're not allowed to say tachanunim and yigimim midot arachamim and so on before chatzot. It's bekalkel, because we like big bekalkel things in this world. We sort of wait for the tikkun to get. We figure the lower we get, the better off we are at the end.
We can pretend.
Then
11:30.
It still wouldn't matter, because then it would be a naked bechad. Lo shmei agad. So what? As a matter of fact, it wouldn't be agid, because he gave bechad lav shmei agad. Tanin amayachi kanim v'dokranim misachachim behem kanim. Pshita. I mean kanim shel dokranim misachachim behem. He gave bechad lav shmeyagat, sholosh shmeyagat, shnayim is a machlokas Rabbi Yosef Rabbanan, titznan mitzvat ezov, shlosha klachim vehem shlosha givolim. Rabbi Yosef and mitzvat ezov, shlosha givolim, shirov shnayim, gedum of kosho. Now what we thought was that what Rabbi Chista meant was that midishyor of shnayim tchilato nami shnayim, haydik tari shlosha tl mitzvah, and Rabbi Chista was saying, since Rabbi Yosef shlosha tl mitzvah, l'rabbanan shlosha tl akev, and therefore we were bothered by the following brisa, because the brisa says a tiny Rabbi Yossi Omer, ezov shetchilato shnayim v'shirav echad pasul, enu kasher shetchilato shloshav shero shnayim. So then we understood that what Rabbi Chista meant was the exact opposite. Apo, Rabbi Yossi shloshav la'akev, Rabbanan shloshav la'mitzvah. Ratanya Ezov Tchilato Shtayim V'Shirav Echad Kasher, and this is a Raya in a Pasuk Shtchilato V'Shirav Echad Shirav Echad. So you just got finished saying Shirav Echad Kasher. I mean, in a Pasuk Ad Shtei Tchilato Kishiyara, meaning you start off with one. So that must be that. That's the Rabbanan. Rabbi Yossi holds you need three. The Rabbanan also can't be one, but two is enough. Turesh Marimah, Hani Asirayta Desura Masachim, even though they are a package, they're only packaged Laminyana Biyamu, they are gone. Om Rababa, Hani Tzrifidur, but they give it Shutra Roshi Madanim Shalayan Kisherin. Aye, they still are tied on the bottom. Om Rav Papa, the Sharalu. Om Rav Winabredo of Yeshua, you don't need to be Sharalu. Afilu Taimid Alo Sharalu. Call Agad, Shaynoa Sida Tatila, Lav Shmei Agad. Now, if you're ready to go all the way and say Kotzer, Koshkein Botzer, because over there, but if you're only ready to go to Botzer, that's because Botzer ain't loyador, because he really doesn't want it. But Kotzer over there, Nechalei. To the Sachik Bulkechro Levadu. So, shall we say Remenashe Bar God, in fact, is a Tanoi, the Tanya. Suche Tainim, Vahim Tainim, Parchinim, Vahim Anavim, Kashim, Vahim Shibulim, Achbedot, Vahim Tamarim. Kulam, Im Psolat Merubala Ochlam Kshera, Vim La Psula, Cher Momrim, Achu Kashim, Merubim, Alayadot, Vi Ala Ochlim. So, my Lav, Bokam Yifage. Mar Sava Yeshlam Yadot, therefore you have to take the Yadot into consideration. Umar Sava Enlam Yadot. So, Lurababa, there's no way out of it. I mean, Vadai Tanoi. L'remenashe bar gada, milema tanoi, om lecha menashe, why? It could be kulei amasavre, hakotze l'schach, ein lo yodot. Who says we're talking about a case of kotze l'schach? I say we're talking about a case of kotze l'achila. And then he changed his mind and decided to use it l'sichach. Ah, no, man. Ikatzam l'achila, my tamay ad rabbonan. What are you going to say? Chitemar, kasavar rabbonan, kimen denim l'achalayim l'sichach. So now he can be mevatel with makshava, and now there's no yodots. Impossible. But eno limitumatam elabishinui maase. She maase motzi miyad maase umiyad machshava. But umi machshava eno motzi alomiyad maase, and not even another machshava. And therefore, there'd be no explanation for your machloket.
It's not like tshuva.
Well, remember, you need the maase for the tshuva too. You got to be in the room with the same girl.